Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. If Sandy Williams is here, and I'm glad he's here. You know, we're talking about tax the rich. This is an article in today's Salon. It's America needs a true wealth tax. Here's our plan to tax the rich, the really, really rich. And let me read a quick paragraph. The danger that extreme wealth possesses to democracy is ever present, and the idea that it must be restrained is almost as old as democracy itself. In 1792, Thomas Paine wrote that the freedom of elections was violated by the overbearing influence of inherited wealth, and proposed an extremely aggressive wealth tax that would have put a hard ceiling on how much wealth a person could accumulate. Nearly a century ago, Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis famously observed, "We can have democracy in this country, or we can have great wealth concentrated in the hands of a few, but we can't have both." What is your thought on that, Sandy?
Well, it well might be true. Interestingly, Alexis de Tocqueville talked about that too, and how America was had an extreme anti-aristocratic trend in it that was all about inherited wealth and against being against inherited wealth. The notion being that wealth would churn and that it would migrate from the very wealthy back into the society at large, so that the very wealthy would not sustain their very wealthy status without contributing on a generational basis to the welfare of the community. And there's a lot of merit to the concept that wealth should not be something that is simply passed on, and that people should have something like the wealth that is generated by the value they create to society. But half of the motivation for chasing wealth does have to do with sharing it and having intergenerational wealth. So, it's a delicate balance. But what I was saying before the break, I think holds, which is that this is, again, a question of community values. And what we need to imbue in society at large, but also in the wealthy in society, is the notion that our community has provides a great deal of value to those of us who are succeeding, and that that value needs to imbue in each of us a community value to give back. You know, and it's not trickle down like you were saying it during the break. It's not trickle down like Reagan talked about it. This is payback. This is the notion that society has been very, very good to us, to some of us, and that we ought to be very, very good to society in return. And how are we very good to society? We pay taxes. And those of us who accumulate a great deal of wealth and spend a great deal of energy trying to figure out the ways to avoid paying taxes are simply manifesting this anti-community, anti-social individualism that de Tocqueville noticed as being dangerous in 1830, and which is truly dangerous today, and which is what's causing American society in many respects to be failing.
You know, Sandy, you, as opposed to just focusing on that group or that handful of people who have done those great things and are living their lives well, there's another part of all of this that impacts and affects people, and the fact that people who are struggling to make it in a society continue to struggle. And we talked about this last week, but I got to talk about it again. It's in today's Wall Street Journal. Congress rejects Biden's defense budget. So Joe Biden has offered a defense budget reasonably that cuts resources to the Pentagon, because he knows, and he's been a senator forever, he knows what's going on there, and he has proposed a reasonable budget.
Well, you say reasonable. He's proposed a budget that is smaller.
Right. then what? I mean,
one of the problems with the defense budget is that everyone's required to acknowledge that some huge budget is in fact reasonable without any kind of material. I mean, the fact is that I would guess, I don't know what number he's suggested, but it couldn't be in under historical basis more than a 5% or 8% reduction,
which is outlandish when you hear other senators.
I mean, a 5 or 8% reduction would still leave it at well over $700 billion.
So here it is: the Senate Armed Services Committee recently passed a national defense authorization for the 2023 that would provide the Pentagon with $817 billion, mm-hmm. up from the roughly $773 billion the Biden administration requested, about a $45 billion.
Increase.
Difference.
Yeah.
The House Armed amended its initial draft in committee to about $37
billion. That's $770 billion. That was an increase. Biden's proposed budget was an increase from the prior period. So this whole discussion we're having shows how sick we are with respect to our discussion of defense expenditures, because this is like an addiction to heroin, and we're talking about it like, well, yeah, it's a given. We're going to have to keep doing this, but the question is what dose level? And the fact is that this dose level is so high that it's going to keep us from being able to do other things.
But it's the other things issue we're talking about. The baby boomers.
Because when we talk about the defense budget, we never talk about it like a household would have to talk about it. Like, if we spend the money here, then we can't spend it there. And in a household, you would talk about what we're spending it on here. We can't buy the Chris Craft boat that we're looking at because we need to have daycare for Johnny and Teddy, and we need to spend our money this way. And so you'd measure this against this. But when the defense budget comes up, we never have this against this. All we have is this.
Well, and that's because I think, Sandy, the American people, it's far too many of the American people don't know what $817 billion every year is.
Well,
right?
And we also don't know what danger we're actually spending that money to avoid. What is the public good that we're spending it to avoid? And, you know, is it solving the problems of Iraq? Is that why we're spending the money? Because when a problem comes up in Iraq, we're going to spend $500 billion there? Is that what we're planning for? Because the clear answer to that is no. The American public is not really willing to do that.
So I was reading something the other day. The amount of munitions that we've sent to Ukraine, the cost is somewhere around $7, $8 billion of actually military weaponry that we've sent. We've sent 40-some-odd billion.
I think 53 billion is now what the number is.
Yeah, but that's not all in munitions.
But I don't think it's clear what it's all.
Okay. Yeah. So, but my point is, you think that's a lot, and it is, but when there's 817 additional billion, you kind of get the magnitude of what this really is, right?
But we should also figure out what can $53 billion buy for Johnny.
Hey, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Tom, I see you. We'll come on the other side. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Sandy Williams. We'll be right back. Let me see.